Very happy to be here at the LBC and see some familiar faces, some very familiar faces, and some not so familiar faces. And I'm also very pleased to be here launching my book. If any of you have ever done anything like that, you'll know it takes a long time to write a book. It's nearly 4 years since I started work on this one. And for a long time, it was in my head, on my computer, changing it around. And there it is. It's now a physical object. Actually, wave one around. Rather lovely physical object. But my talk isn't really about the book. My talk is about the Buddha. And the book takes a narrative, tells the story of the Buddha's life. And I'm doing a number of different talks at different centres in relation to launching the book, and I'm doing different talks in each place. And I'll make a series and I'll be on the web on Free Buddhist Audio. And what I'm wanting to do, and I'm finding it's very interesting, as a different way of reflecting on the Buddha and what I've been writing about, is drawing out strands, trying to sum up some of the things that are threaded through the book. And it wasn't my intention to talk about this particular subject. But then I thought, no, that's what I want to talk about. About last week, the Buddha's personality. And it struck me that I'd never heard, you know, having been around Buddhist centres for a long time, or even read anyone ever trying to describe the Buddha's personality. So what that means, we'll come to. But I want to start with myself, or at least with my relationship with the Buddha. I was ordained 19 years ago, in 1992, and that's an episode in my own personal connection with the Buddha. When you are ordained, well, the formal way that it's put is you make a commitment or you go for refuge to what we call the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Some of you will be very familiar with this and some of you won't. And I was ordained at a place called Gyuhyaloka, which is a very beautiful, remote mountain retreat centre in southern Spain. And we were doing a lot of meditation in the period leading up to the ordination, my ordination. And there were quite a lot of us there, all meditating away. And having the beautiful environment, these craggy peaks, having the context of a month of meditation, and having this event looming that really concentrates the mind, it really does make you think, right, this is it now. I got very deeply engaged with my meditation. And the day before my private ordination, I was meditating away and everyone else left the shrine room. I was meditating away, very absorbed, very concentrated. And the thought came into my mind, so what am I doing tomorrow? What is it? And I thought, okay, that's a good question, that's an important question. Going for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha. So what does that mean? What does it mean to go for refuge to the Buddha? And I thought, well, you know, I know the doctrinal explanations, you can talk about that. But it came to my mind was, well, when you're engaging with the Buddha, you're engaging with the part of the Buddha that makes him the Buddha. So that's his enlightened mind. So what is the enlightened mind? I just sat with that question, and it was one of those moments when you just get a bit of a glimpse. What is the enlightened mind? What was it like to be the Buddha? What was that consciousness? And one of those moments when your perspective sort of opens up and you imagine someone for whom all the things that befuddle us, me, all the complications around life disappear, and the connections between things are there, and one feels very much part of that, in a sense of great expansiveness. Of course, I don't know what the Buddha's mind was, and I don't know what the Buddha's personality was. But when I read the Buddhist scriptures, one reads quite often of those sorts of experiences. People meeting the Buddha, and then some kind of expansion into a different space. Now, one of the ways that's talked about is the opening of the Dharma eye. I'm not saying that the Dharma eye opened for me at Gyuhyaloka by any means, but I think you can sometimes, the Dharma eye can sometimes blink. Closed most of the time, then it blinks open, and you have a little vision of something. or a big vision even. And then it closes again. And, of course, if your eyes are closed in a lighted room, and then they close again, they open, they close again, then you'll remember what you saw, although memory might fade. In one of the scriptures, this happens to a fellow called Upali, he says, just as a clean cloth would take dye evenly, so while Upali sat there, the spotless, immaculate Dharma eye arose in him. Whatever is subject to origination is subject to cessation. That's a kind of a vision of how things change, how they're connected, how one thing leads to another, the way life is. And I'm not talking about the Buddha's personality yet. This way of thinking about the Buddha, engaging with the Buddha, is what the Buddhist tradition has really emphasized. Perfect vision, which is really the start of the Eightfold Path, it is the start of the Eightfold Path, is another way of talking about it. And one imagines the person who had this vision as being in some way perfect, in some way beyond change, beyond vicissitude, and then the imaginations of those Buddhists over the centuries who've reflected on that have captured that in these archetypal forms. We have one here. So the Buddha as an archetype, the Buddha as timeless, the Buddha as eternal. And what we usually think about when we think about the Buddha